Welcome to another presentation from House of David Fellowship in Richmond, Virginia. I'm Lee Miller. Today we're going to start a new series dealing with time, calendar, and issues of that like. Here is the title of my presentation. It's entitled, Yom, Overstating the Literal. Overstating the Literal. The Copernicus Syndrome, Deja Vu. I'll explain this title as we get going here. I have some questions that I want to have answered, and that's why I'm making this presentation. So here's the first question. And I'm going to break down Genesis 1, so do not be concerned. Can Yom mean something besides the light portion of the planet's 24-hour rotation? That is a basic question that I'm asking. And you're going to see why there's a question here. You're going to see why there's a question. I also am going to touch briefly on what I call general principles. Sometimes we have a tendency to read a text, and we take that text, and it becomes an absolute principle. And that's a problem. Sometimes that's a problem. I'm going to identify one of those. So I want us to take into consideration that it's not just the proof text. It is the complete revelation that we've been given that has to be considered. So let's continue. Overstating the literal. Now, I don't want you guys to get upset with me, but I think that this presentation could irritate you very quickly. There's not many slides, and you all may be hot by 15. So I'm saying this ahead of time because I'm going to be as serious I can be. Not that I'm very good at being serious, but I'm trying. Okay? So overstating the literal. What is an example? We've been here. We've heard the Copernicus Syndrome. We know about Nicolai and the events that took place. I'm calling this deja vu because we're doing the Copernicus Syndrome again. Now, what was the situation that Nicolai found himself in? For over a millennia, not a generation, not a century, a millennia, it was clearly established by everyone who walked on the face of the earth practically that the earth is the center of the universe and everything goes around it. It was clearly stated, well established, many documents written. And then Nicolai decided, I'm going to look into this. And he was quite a gentleman. It's funny, the thing that he's remembered for is not his work, but his hobby, which was astronomy. So he discovered that was not the case. Well, it was not received well by the Catholic Church. Why? Because of the following verse, his theory was rejected. Yahweh reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. Yahweh is clothed with strength, wherewith he has girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. If you overstate the literal, what does this verse mean? The earth does not move. Okay, this is documented fact. This is what Nicolai was up against. Well, I'm asking the question, are we facing this again, except this time dealing with time? Let's see. Genesis 1, the earth was without form and void. Darkness, Hebrew word, Hoshek, Greek word, skotos, was upon the face of the deep. 3, let there be or, O-W-R. If you look it up in the KJV, it's O-W-E, which kind of reminds me of an Oreo, where you have the creamy center, that's probably the light. And then you have the cookie part, which is the darkness. And we could expand that, but I will not digress at this time. 4, God saw the or, that it was good. Me too. God bedal, the or from the cookie. Okay, you see it? Bedal, that's the Hebrew. Division between the light and darkness. Five, call the light Yom and the darkness he called the Yil. The light of the sun shining on the earth, the light of the moon shining on the earth. Let there be luminaries in the firmament of the heavens to Bedal, the Yom from the Lil. To rule over the Yom and over the Lil. And to Bedal, the Or from the Hoshek. A lot of Bedal going on here. It's clear, it's stated. Not trying to escape it. This is what it says. But what exactly does it mean? And what are the implications? I'm going to ask those questions. Yom and Lo-Yil have been divided. Some take the position that once divided, their meanings are fixed and unchanging. This is a prominent teaching in Messianicism. I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just telling you what exists. My question is going to be, do the scriptures bear this out? I can make a lot of doctrine. Give me one verse, maybe two. I'll build you some doctrines you've never seen. I was a master. Remember, I went to college. I can do it. But I want to find out what happens when we take the entire revelation and consider what it says. Can a status change that has been bedalled? There's a lot of bedalls in the scriptures. I'm going to give you an example of one. That you may put division, that's bedal, between holy and unholy and between unclean and clean. Leviticus 14, the clean and unclean house. Wasn't that long ago we visited the clean and unclean house. When you enter the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put a mark on a house in the land, then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, there's something like a mark, it's become visible to me in the house. The priest shall then order that they empty the house before the priest goes in to look at the mark. Why? Because once the priest goes in, finds the mark, declares the house unclean, everything in the house is unclean. But if you take it out of the house before the priest goes in and identifies the mark and declares the house unclean, the furniture is not unclean. The priest performs a home inspection. We're familiar with home inspections. And if it fails, he states that it's unclean. So here we have an entity that was clean and it became unclean. And yet those things are divided. So I'm just identifying this passage to set the stage for what I'm going to show you that the scriptures are saying. So let's go back to OSTL, overstating the literal. If you see LP, it's talking about the light period. If you see DP, it's talking about the dark period. I'm going to ask another question. It's going to be challenging for us. I'm going to ask you, what do you think the Israeli people understood when I read you a text? I'm going to say, so what do you think the people understood this to mean? Obviously, there's going to be a level of speculation. I anticipate it and expect it. Here is the initial question. What might yom mean within the semantic range of the word as used in the scriptures? What does the word semantic mean? It's a Greek word. It means the study of meaning. The semantics, the meanings of the word within a range as they're used in the entire set of scriptures. That's what we're after. Even though it was divided from the night period, can the meaning of yom be expanded to include the night period too? It was bedaled. We saw that. There's no question about it. Chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, you can't get much earlier than that. It was bedaled. So, can it mean the night period too? That's really what I'm asking. Genesis 7:17, the flood was 40 yoms upon the earth. Did the people understand the flood was only on the earth for 40 light periods and it wasn't on the earth for the 40 dark periods? Is that what the people understood? Genesis 7:12, the rain was upon the earth 40 light periods and 40 dark periods. So what did the other yom mean? Leviticus 8:33, you shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation for 7 yoms until the days of your consecration be at an end. This is Aaron, we just read this. For in 7 yoms he shall he consecrate you. That's the light periods. What's after that? Therefore shall you abide at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation day and night. But that said 7 days. This says day and night. So what does 7 days and night mean? 7 days. That's what the text says. Leviticus 8:35, from the MT. Here is your Hebrew phrase 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Here's the English from right to left. Doorway, tent, that's tabernacle, the place you are to dwell, yom, layil, 7, yoms. That's the Hebrew. Confusing. Matthew 4:1. Yeshua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Mark 1:13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, 40 yoms, tempted of Satan. Being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he didn't eat. So did he chow down at night? 4:2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So in those days means day and night to me. What am I missing? Numbers 12, Miriam, Aaron. Wasn't that long ago we looked at this. Spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that he had married. Verse 14, Yahweh says to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 yoms? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 yoms, and after that, let her be received again. 15, Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 yoms, and the people journeyed not till she was brought in again. My question is, did the people understand that she could enter the camp just after sunset and remain in the camp until just before sunrise on all 7 of those 24-hour rotations of the planet? That's my question. Leviticus 12:2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman hath conceived seed and born a man-child, then she will be unclean 7 days. Did the people understand that she was not unclean during those 7 nights? Verse 5, Birth of a female child, unclean 2 weeks. That solved the whole thing. See, with a female child, you're unclean day and night. With a male child, you're only unclean during the day. If we overstate the literal meaning of Yom. Leviticus 13, when a man has the plague of leprosy, then the priest shall isolate him who has the leprosy for 7 yoms. Did the people understand that he was not isolated any of those nights surrounding the 7 yoms? He was allowed back in the camp, hang out, have dinner, sleep, as long as he's out before sunrise. Is that what the people understood? I have some other verses here to talk about the same subject. Leviticus 14, cleansing the leper. And he that is to be cleansed shall do stuff. There's a lot of stuff. That's why I put do stuff. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 yoms. Did the people understand that just after sunset he could go into his tent? All of those 7 layils? Leviticus 15, a woman has a discharge. If her discharge in her body is blood, she shall continue in her menstrual impurity for 7 yoms. Did the people understand that she was not in her menstrual impurity for the 7 layils? The menstrual impurity stopped at sunset and restarted at sunrise. Is that what the people understood? Leviticus 23:42. You shall dwell in booths 7 yoms. Well, this solves the problem of having to build a roof, huh? Did the people understand there's no requirement to sleep in them? Numbers 19, he that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 yoms. Did they understand that that only applies during the light period? And so therefore, at night, if he had gone up to the tabernacle, he would not have been struck dead. Let's test this. See verses 14 and 16 for 2 more examples of the same thing. Exodus 20:9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Uh-oh. Now we have a problem. By the way, the word for all in Hebrew is the word all. 23:12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work. That's 6 daylight periods. 31:15, 6 yoms may work be done. 34:21, 6 yoms thou shalt work. Leviticus 35:2, 6 yoms shall work be done. Did the people understand that they were not allowed to work at night? Because you have to do all your work during the 6 yoms. Luke 13:14, let's carry it to the New Testament. Gentleman who was a leader in the synagogue turns to Yeshua and says, there's a 6 days in which men ought to work. That might be how he understood it. Yeshua said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh. No man can work at night. Wonder what that means. Well, let's see what the inspiration of the king was by the Spirit of the Holy One. These are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, for they are employed in that work day and night. Uh-oh, we have an official disconnect. Back to the New Testament. Peter, before meeting Yeshua, Master, we have toiled all the night. Oops, this man's guilty of working at night. After the resurrection, Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. His gang said, we'll go with you. They went forth and entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So before Yeshua, they worked at night. After the resurrection, they still worked at night. Peter did not understand Exodus 20. Is that my conclusion? Let's talk about some more lepers. 2 Kings 7, four leprous men were at the gate of the city and said, "Why sit here till we die? Let's attack the Syrians." So they rose up at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. When they came to the outskirts of the camp, behold, no one was home. They had left during twilight. By the way, twilight is that time period after the sun has gone down below the horizon, but the reflection into the atmosphere still reflects the light of the light period, and it fades out over an hour or so, depending on where you are and when it is. But that's the twilight time. Now, 2 Kings 7, 8, and when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, and they had a party. They carried off silver, gold, and raiment, they left the tents, went back, hid the stuff, came again and entered into another tent. That was a good night of partying. Okay? They carried that off and hid it. 9. Then they said one to another, "We're not doing right. This day," really, "is a day of good news, but we're keeping silent. If we wait until morning light," that's Bokur, "or punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." What time is it now? At twilight, they went to the camp, they ate and drank, took stuff, left, buried it, and did the whole thing again. And then they said, "This day is a day of good news." Let's continue. 10. They told the gatekeeper. Gatekeeper told the king's admin staff. And the king arose in the night. So, when the leper said this day, what did he mean? Continuing. Acts 1:3. Yeshua, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 light periods. Is that what that text means? Let's check it out. Luke 24, road to Emmaus. They urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. They sat down and had dinner. Then their eyes were open. Then he vanished out of their sight. Then they got upset and disgusted amongst themselves. Then they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, which was 7 miles on foot, found the 11 gathered together. 34, the Lord is risen indeed, is the report. And they told what things were done in the way, how he was known of them. And as they spoke, Yeshua appeared unto them in their midst. It's nearly evening, the day far spent. Have a meal, walk 7 miles. Tell me, what time is it? They only saw him for 40 yoms. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Yeshua and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Being seen of them 40 days might include nights as well, since the scriptural record testifies so. General principle versus absolute principle. Darkness, going back to slide 6 in Genesis chapter 1. The earth was without form and void, and Hoshech was upon the face of the deep. Saw the light, it was good, Badal. Two luminaries, the greater light to rule the Yom. Slide 8, 118, to rule over the yom and over the levil, and to divide the light from the darkness. It's what the text says. We need to take into consideration the full accounting of what the written revelation says. What do we know about a room that's dark and then light comes into the room? The light dispels the darkness. Nope, not all the time. Exodus 10:21, Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be Hoshech, Skotos, over the land of Egypt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick Hoshech, Skotos, over the land of Egypt for 3 light periods. Who wins, darkness or light? Darkness won that match. Let's go to a second witness. Oh, I think I have another verse here. It's interesting to note in this particular instance that the sun was still shining because over next door in the next neighborhood, they had all the light they needed. But it was only in this particular subsection of which darkness dispelled the light. For 3 light periods? Even though the great luminary assigned to rule the yom was in place for this defined space and time, the darkness dissipated the light. Be careful about principles. They don't always apply. They must be taken on a case-by-case basis, considering the full revelation of Scripture, or be ready to be in trouble. Let's go New Testament now. Witness number 2, Matthew 27:45. Now from the 6th hour, there was skotos over all the land until the 9th hour. That's noon to 3 p.m. for us digital timekeeper people. There's other examples. Joel, the sun and the moon shall be dark. Uh-oh, there goes that principle. I will cause the sun to go down at noon. Like to see that, or maybe not. And I'll darken the earth in a clear day. There's stuff going on here. Freiburg, lexicon, Greek. This is the word for this very day or today. Let's take a look at some passages. Matthew 21:28. Certain man had 2 sons. Came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. What do you think? Mark 11:35, watch for the return of the Son of Man, maybe at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. There's your division of night into 4 Roman watches. Now the witness. Last Supper. Recorded by all 4 authors. When that happens, I take note. Each bringing their part to complete the whole. Let's take a look. Matthew. Now when the evening had come, he sat down with the 12. What time is that? That's late in the afternoon. Part 2 will define these pieces excruciatingly clear. Had a meal. There was feet washing, hymn singing, traveled to the Mount of Olives. They talked some more, including all of John 13-17. They prayed some. Needless to say, we could make a case that it was now nighttime. So, John, what does he say? Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake, Peter? Verily I say unto you, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me. Doesn't help me at all. This tells me nothing except that John's knows what's going on. He just doesn't tell me enough for me to do anything about it. How about Matthew? Yeshua said to Peter, "Verily I say unto you that this night," well, that cleared some things up, didn't it? "Thou shalt deny me." What about Luke? Let's add some more. "I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day." Oops. I thought it was this night. Now Yeshua is saying this day. Well, which is it, night or day? Let's ask Mark. Yeshua said, "This day, even this night, thou shalt deny me." I'm telling you, I got a question. Can Yom mean something besides 12 hours light period? That is my question. Continuing back to Exodus 12. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. That means 7 light periods. You have to eat matzah, but it's sunset. Oh my. Pizza. 13:6, 7 yoms thou shalt eat unleavened bread. 28:17, number 7 yoms shall unleavened bread be eaten. 13:7, 23:15, 34:18, Leviticus 23:6, Deuteronomy 16:3. Is that enough witnesses? One might think that a call to Papa John's is coming up soon. But you would be wrong. We don't want to overstate the literal. 8 times it specifies that unleavened bread must be eaten during the light period. These 8 never specify eating it during the night period. Did the people understand that leavened bread could be eaten during the night period? I ask. Exodus 12:19, 7 yoms shall there be no leaven found in your houses. Deuteronomy, there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy borders 7 days. Does this teach that leaven can be in the house between sunset and sunrise? Yes, if you overstate the literal meaning of yom. But you'd be wrong, because Exodus 12:15 says, "For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day to the 7th day." So that's got to cover at least 6 nights. Or if my math is bad, at least 5 nights. 5 or 6 nights you can't eat unleavened bread. So guess what? We've been yomed again. Exodus 12:18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread. Through the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. We'll break this down in the Hebrew in part 3. But once again, you can see that it covers at least the 14th to the 21st. It's got to be 5 or 6 night periods covered by yom. Sorry. Overstate the literal. I'm concerned. Here's my conclusion. The evidence from Scripture alone demonstrates that yom is sometimes a 12-hour time period, sometimes a 24-hour time period, and sometimes an amount of time that is not defined. So, the question again, am I going too far if I say that sometimes yom seems to portray more than just the light period of a day? Man, that's two rhymes in a row. I think it's time for this presentation to end. All right, that's all I have. This is the end of part 1. We'll pick up part 2 at our next meeting, where we will define the pieces and the parts, and we'll find out what a light nugget is. Thank you.